Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on January 6th of 2022. And I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And the reason I was hesitating there was because I was suddenly thinking, uh-oh, in our last episode, did I say it was January of 2021? Or did I say 2022? I have no idea. Oh man, now that's going to bother me and I'll have to look it up. Well, anyway, we are here to, there were still no new Toonami episodes unless you count Blade Runner Black Lotus, which was a recap episode. So we'll be skipping over that one. We do have some news. So Toonami's back with new shows. Kind of. This week, have you seen the schedule?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah, that just went up. Wow, I think that went up earlier today. Oh, this went up like an hour ago.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got still Blade Runner, Black Lotus. We're still getting that. And then we'll have two episodes of Assassination Classroom.
Yeah. And then three episodes of Naruto Shippuden, right?
Yep, and then two episodes of Cowboy Bebop, which, so, we'll probably
Why did they bring back Cowboy Bebop? I don't get it.
Because everyone was complaining about the next Netflix adaptation, and they thought, well, people are talking about Cowboy Bebop, and people are saying the original was better. Let's show the original.
Yeah.
It's like when they had that air of that, when they had the promo for the Bebop Marathon, they basically kind of took a swipe at the Netflix adaptation. All right. So, for next week, we will have some Toonami to talk about.
Yep.
We don't know what's coming after that. Apparently, we are going to be getting some new shows, soon, as in possibly the week after. So we'll be getting, other than Assassination Classroom. So
right. That'll
be something. Yep. Yeah, hopefully we'll be getting some new stuff. I wonder if they might get like some of the bigger stuff coming up later this year, like Spy Family, but knowing our luck, we probably won't. All right. So we've got no Toonami to be talking about. So we'll just talk about the non-Toonami shows we watched, although the first one we're discussing previously aired on Toonami.
Yep.
All right. So here we have episode 3 of Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo. So in this episode, Don Patch is just missing, which it makes jokes about.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Bo-Bo and Beauty go to this Wiggin festival. Very random stuff happens. Then they end up fighting a guy who has underwear with a duck head wearing on his head, which turns out to actually be alive and the son of a duck and underwear. I won't even ask how that works. And then Bo-Bo-Bo beats him, and then they go off. And several times throughout the episode, Don Patch shows up to complain about how he's not in the episode.
Yep.
You know, this was actually the first episode of Bo-Bo-Bo I ever saw.
Was it?
Yeah, I saw a little of the first episode, and then this was the first full episode I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I thought it is kind of... So it seems a bunch of my memory, yeah, I thought there's some pretty funny stuff in this episode. I like the joke where the dynamite guy turns out to be a firecracker.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Patch is like, when he just takes over the recap and starts complaining about how he's not getting the attention, that was funny. But the rest, a lot of the episode was just kind of, I thought, it's an issue I remember the show having early on, which is that there's kind of too much randomness for the sake of randomness. I don't know if that's how you thought.
Yeah, I felt this episode was, like, really random. Like, mm-hmm. And it was funny, but it changed subjects way too much, you know?
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure why they did this, but I was curious. I did look at the manga. They actually reordered some stuff. Originally, this is what happens after the first episode, and then they meet Don Patch. That's why he doesn't show up at all in this episode. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to forgive that because I just really like the gag where he's complaining about not being in the episode. Like he gives, I just love this line where he says, let's see, watch the show. It's about me, or it should be. I mean, every single scene, except all the scenes you'll be seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good line, but, yeah, this was, so yeah, I mean, it had some funny stuff, but I seem to remember liking it more when I watched it originally. I think maybe it's because this was my first introduction to it. So if this is your first episode, you're like, oh, this is kind of funny. But if you've seen the previous two episodes, you're thinking, oh, well, this is just a little too much randomness and didn't really have much to do with what you were setting up before.
Right. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, it still did have some good jokes. I knew the firecracker gag was coming, and I still laughed when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the timing of it. Oh, one other thing I might as well mention. There's a bunch of, like, stuff from the manga. The manga was more risque than the anime. Like the guy who's got, you know, the duck underwear and he's just wearing it on his head. Yeah, in the manga, he was wearing that where you normally wear underwear. So you see the joke of, like, you know, this little duck head and neck coming out of the underwear. And so, yeah. Okay, so yeah, we'll see how it keeps going. Like I said, that is one of the issues I remember having with the show, some of the earlier episodes being kind of too random and repetitive. But, I mean, look, even this one still had some funny jokes. I still had fun with it.
Mm.
All right, so then we'll finish, we'll start on one of our two new shows, Ascendance of a Bookworm, Episode 1.
So, are you going to do the recaps? Because you're better at them than I am.
Oh, okay. You don't want to do it for this?
No, not really, because I stumble around my words too much.
Okay. All right. So we've got Ascendance of a Bookworm, a series about a character who dies and is brought to an alternate universe. But they decided to vary it. She's not hit by a truck. She's crushed by books. And then she, when she dies, she like gives some, she just asks, oh, in my next life, let me be brought into a world with lots of books. But, guess Aqua was busy dealing with Kazuma because instead our character ends up with a world where there's barely any books because it's, you know, medieval times and you can't, you know, like, and the printing press wasn't made yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode was basically just about her because it's not clear whether she has actually basically been brought to this alternate world and like has taken the place of someone who was there, or if she was reborn into there and just now has suddenly recovered all her memories, because she mentions having the memories of the person she now is. So I don't know which one that is. Then it's just her finding out about the world and stuff, and discovering, oh no, well, all that stuff I said about books. Also, apparently there's magic in this world, although I don't think I think we only know that because it was mentioned at the very beginning, when at some point later on where some character is using magic to, like, see her memories or whatever, but we haven't gone to that part yet. So, Yeah, so that was basically the episode.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I was kind of disappointed with this. It felt too much like it was just one character the whole show, and there really wasn't much interaction between more than just the one character. And yeah, I was also hoping for like a different reason why there was no books. Like, I knew there were no books because that's in the premise. But I was hoping it was like some sort of magical reason that like no one knows how to write or something. But for it to just be, oh, there are books, but we just don't have them. That kind of, you know, because you don't have them because you don't have a printing press. It's like, okay, well, that's, yeah, it's realistic, but it's not as interesting of an idea as I thought it was. Now, I'm not giving up on the show. I just felt like the first episode wasn't strong enough. And I would like to see more than just the main character, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by it also. But afterwards, I started thinking, and I realized, what isekai series actually had a good first episode? Because every isekai series I can think of, the first episode wasn't that great. The only exception I can think of is ReZero, and that I don't think should even count because it had an hour-long first episode. If you had cut the episode midway through and said, okay, this is the first episode, I wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I mean, there's some that were okay. I mean, Konosuba's first episode was okay, but it was the second episode that kind of made me like it more. Saga of Tanya the Evil's first episode was pretty bad. I don't remember it.
I don't remember it because I feel like I liked the show more at the beginning than at the end, but maybe it wasn't the first episode.
The first episode was just the one where it's basically entirely at this battle. I remember because you like told me you didn't like it because you said it was just war.
And then, yeah, you're right.
It's not the second episode until we find out the backstory. I was kind of curious. Yeah. I looked back at like reviews of just of the series, and a lot of people like the first episode were like, "Well, this is boring. It's just there's nothing interesting." And then I except for one where I did see someone saying basically said that the interesting stuff hasn't been revealed yet. It's like, It's just such, I know this is going back to that, but it's so weird to say, okay, we got a first episode. This is when we got a Dre, pull people in. Let's not mention anything that's actually interesting about the premise. You know, like the whole, oh, well, it was this super cynical, person from this alternate from our world who's been reborn in the body of a child by being ex of. To make and learn respect and all of this. And I'm like, see, that you're leaving out everything that you would actually use to try to sell someone on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that when I realized that, I decided, well, okay, just isekai. They just don't seem to have good first episodes. I guess because you have to spend all the time establishing the setting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, We'll see what we get in the next episode. I mean, I guess Isekai Quartet had a good first episode, but that really doesn't count.
Yeah. Does Sword Art Online count as a isekai? So,
I mean, some people call it that, say it's an isekai, but I would say in terms of how it's used nowadays, I don't think I really would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been so long, I can't remember. Was the first episode of Inuyasha good?
Yeah, definitely.
It was? Okay, there you go. Yeah. There's an isekai that had a decent first episode.
I didn't even think it was an isekai until you said that.
I mean, it really shouldn't. It's supposed to be. It's like, look. It's supposed to be the past, but it's basically an alternate world. It might as well be an alternate world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen all these people call it isekai. So, I mean, I guess, but if you want to count that, and you can say, but even there is one that's like, well, it's functionally an isekai, but it's not technically an isekai.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, maybe it's just because all the isekai I can think of now that I think about, the big ones, they're all based on light novels. Inuyasha was based on a manga. And it makes me think, is this just a matter of the problem of adaptation? Because with a light novel, you got one, like, book. Someone gets the book and reads it. And you're usually, you might not read a full book, but you're not going to, like, say, well, this first chapter I don't like.
Yeah.
And it's making me wonder if maybe it comes from having to adapt it in that way, and thus you have to put all the exposition stuff in the first episode.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Ascendance of a Bookworm. Episode 1, we got that stuff. I will mention that it is one final comment I had. She was, like, supposedly, like, this big reader of all these things, and it mentions history, and yet she's surprised by the fact that, you know, about, like, you know, the way meat was, for like, served and stuff back then.
Like,
I think you would have learned about that, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so we got, so hopefully the next episode will be, better. Then we've got Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works, which, just for the record, Blade Works is two words. I messed that up so many times.
Oops. Sorry. Sorry. Did I mess anything up here?
No.
Okay. I hit the mute button by mistake. So.
Okay.
You heard me though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. All right. Sorry.
Do you want to do this one though? Because you're more familiar with the Fate, franchise than I am.
I can. Yeah, I can. I'm just not as good, but...
Well, I mean, I can still do it if you want. I was just wondering if you wanted to, because you've seen the original series and I haven't.
Yeah, so basically, this is the story of Tosaka, and she discovers this thing that her father left her, I think, and it's got a pendant and some magic stuff, and she is like, at first she's like not doing anything, and then all of a sudden she's like, okay, I'm going to summon, I almost said summon my avatar, summon her servant, I guess, and
they're really more so, like stands.
Yeah, yeah. So she does it, but she was trying to get Saber, and for some reason, something to do with the clocks, she ends up with Archer instead, which is important for this reason. It wouldn't have been as good for the show if you had... if you didn't have a love interest type of sexual frustration. I don't know how to say it, but if you had, if she was with Saber, then that kind of takes that away, you know, and it kind of doesn't allow the other person who will come up to be, you know, as the opposite sex as their avatar or avatar. I keep saying avatar. I don't know why I'm saying that. Servant. Yeah, so basically she gets Archer, and I'm stumbling on my words here, but there's a fight near the end of the episode, and Saber appears to save Tosaka from certain doom. And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. So So of these three series we watched, do you want, do you want me to go with my thoughts or do you want to give yours?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Yeah, go ahead with yours.
Of the three shows I watched, this was the one I enjoyed the most. But I can tell you something. If I hadn't watched Fate Zero, this would have been my least favorite. Because they do not explain things if you are new to the franchise here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're summoning a servant. What does that mean? How are you doing this? She asked who he was previously. Wait, there are people previous? Lee, what's going on? There's a tournament. What's all? Nothing is explained.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they really are counting on you to have seen Fate Zero or the original anime. But I did see those, so I'm more familiar with it. But so I enjoyed it a lot more. So. We really only meet Rin and Archer here. Well, we meet Lancer, who's Lupin, basically, or at least his voice is. One thing I did want to mention. I know it's been a while since you saw the original anime, but most of the voices are different here than the original anime.
Yeah, you're right.
Rin is the same, though. She's the same. Mm-hmm. But I know Archer is different. Shiro, who we haven't met yet, is different. I think I was curious, so I looked at them, and about half of them are different. The good news, though, is that it looks like they got basically all the characters who were in Fate Zero, they got those voice actors back.
Mm-hmm.
So, Saber is who we had in Fate Zero, but not the original Fate Stay Night.
Right.
Okay. So, we've got all that stuff. Yeah. So,
I didn't get my thoughts on this, so.
No, go ahead.
I really enjoyed this, but I can see what you mean about being confused if you hadn't seen it before. I mean, it really helps to know about the Holy Grail War and what the purpose of it is. I mean, it doesn't really tell you, though, why they're having another one. But I'm sure that will come in time. I really like Tosaka, her character. So it feels good that this show is going to center around her.
Mm-hmm.
And well, hopefully it does. Maybe it doesn't. But because the first Fate Stay Night did not center around her, centered more around Zero. But yeah, very good first episode. But I can see where you'd be confused if you hadn't seen it before.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they're going to explain some stuff. The second episode is, or episode one, because this is episode zero, focuses on Shiro. And since from what I know of the series, he's the new character to this whole thing. He's more regular character who gets introduced. So I assume we'll get some exposition for his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But which does make me think that, I don't know, maybe they should have done it that way. Maybe they should have done that instead of starting with this, but we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they'll explain it. It just, I don't think it's a very good way to open up the series by not having, just dumping you in to it without explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they just assume people have seen one of the original series, so they just figured, a lot of people have seen those, and the people who haven't, will just fill them in episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So from my understanding, the original game this is all based on had the three routes. There's the Saber route, the Rin route, and then there's the Sakura route. And, mm-hmm. So this anime will get more focus on Rin than the original, but it'll also, as I understand, mean a lot less focus for Saber compared to the original.
Yeah.
Because, well, that was her route, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I kind of goofed up and accidentally spoiled myself on something. I'm just thinking, okay, I just want to see a little bit about the difference between this and the first route in the game. I'll just look at this summary of it. They wouldn't put like a big spoiler in, I don't know, the first paragraph of the summary, would they? Oh, I guess they did. Don't read the Wikipedia summary of the plots in the game.
Okay.
It will tell you, although I am curious about whether what I spoiled myself on was in the original anime, and if you know. So basically, in this episode, when Rin is talking to Archer, and she, who, no relation to the previous Archer.
Right.
In Fate Zero. No wonder they always called him Gilgamesh. They wanted to, like, you know, separate him from this. And she's like saying, okay, so since all the servants are like an incarnation of some historical or mythological figure, who are you? And he says, I don't know. I kind of accidentally spoiled myself on who he was. Was that revealed in the original anime?
I don't remember. I gotta be honest.
Well, I don't know if it was in the original Saber route of the game, because it seemed like it would be. Since he's Rin's servant, it might only be revealed here, but I know the original anime adapted some stuff from the other route, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So, anyway, that was there. Yep. I guess I had a few other random ideas, but they're all like kind of random, like me noticing, oh, I guess Rin and Sakura must not know their sisters because they don't, like, you know, treat each other like that. That's basically all of the things here. We'll get more to it into next episode, I guess. Anything else?
No, not really. You summed it up pretty well.
All right. So we can give our top threes. This will be easy because we've only got three shows.
Yep. For me, it's Fate first, Ascendant second, and Bobobo third.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I think honestly I would give the same list. It was a close call between Bobobo and Ascendance of a Bookworm. It was kind of like, it's like the best parts of Bobobo were better than anything in Ascendance in a Bookworm of a Bookworm. But most of it was a little worse. So it kind of averages out to being a little below it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Look forward to getting back to the live blog this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What time again is... Let me look up this Toonami schedule, because I just saw it like about half an hour before we started.
It is starting, let's see...
12:30, yeah.
Yeah, we've got Blade Runner Black Lotus at 12. I don't know if you care about watching that still.
Yeah, I might check in then because we'll see if I'm wired or tired. And so with as it comes to Naruto. Are those new episodes of Naruto or like, I mean, relatively new?
In terms of not airing on Toonami before, I believe they are, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we could start with Blade Runner or Assassination Classroom, whichever one you want. Blade Runner has gotten better, but it's still like not. It's still not a series that I would, you know, go out of my way to watch if it wasn't on, you know, Toonami.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Was there anything else I wanted to mention? Oh, actually, here's something interesting. I decided, because why not? Because I've been wanting to continue with my Let's Watch Anime subtitling in Spanish to improve my Spanish thing, but was kind of running out of series that seemed to be a good thing for. So I decided, well, the new season of shows is starting. How about I just watch at least one episode of every single one? so far, I've only watched one episode of one so far, which was... I'll just talk about it quick. It's called, like, In the Land of Leodale, and it's, well, it's an isekai, of course. I just randomly picked one of the series that had aired and was like, which one? This one? Okay, let's check it out. The title makes it sound like it's a fantasy. Maybe it's an isekai. Yes, it's an isekai. It's an isekai in which someone who is a big fan of playing this one video game that was really good about it gets transported into a world that's just like the video game and has all their stats. You know, something we haven't seen about at least five other series do. Yeah. In a little fairness to the series, apparently the original web novel it's based on actually came out like in 2010, so it actually the original predates all the series that did that. And it does have the maybe interesting twist of, oh, well, it's 200, this world is 200 years in the future of that game somehow, but it was okay. I might give it one more episode, but yeah, it was just weird to start off and go, I wonder, what could I get? Oh, it's an isekai. Of course it's an isekai. And like I mentioned before, it wasn't a great first episode.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I had there. I don't think I had anything else to say anime.
Now you're saying these are new shows that you're watching?
Yeah, the stuff that's like premiering, the new stuff.
Yeah. If I were to give you any advice, I just want to tell you that I follow a site that reviews new anime, and most of them got pretty good reviews, but there's something called like the Tokyo Ward or something, and they say that isn't very good. It sounded a lot like Fire Force. So just so you know, before you choose that, I mean, it could be good. I could just be one person didn't like it, but I thought I'd tell you just in case, because it was like I looked it up and I looked at this thing. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not supposed to be too good. But
yeah,
you can decide for yourself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to dislike a lot of these shows. It's just a matter of there's not anything else. I consider, because I'm trying to keep watching the stuff, Spanish subtitled, to try to get better at that, at least one per day. And then I was thinking, well, I don't want to try for more Demon Slayer until it's finished the stuff, and I don't want to like marathon the original Fate Stay Night anime, because I want you to be the guy who's seen it and me to be the guy who has no clue. So I just thought I'll just try to watch all of them, one episode of each. I'm sure a lot of them I'll just be dropping immediately. When I get to Tokyo 20, I'm going to get behind. Like, there's four series I haven't seen. So the plan is, I'll watch some of them as they go along. And then as I drop some shows, it'll give me room to check out a different one, maybe that aired like a week or two ago. And then presumably eventually I'll be dropping a lot of these shows and stuff. So I just thought it might be an interesting experience to actually try everything.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea you've got there. Unfortunately, I'm not good enough at Spanish.
You could use English subtitles, but I mean, one of the reasons I'm doing this. If it was English, I'd be like, well, why bother if I'm not going to like it?
Yeah.
I'm actually even trying to go into them without knowing too much about the series. Like this one, I mentioned, In the Land of Leodale, which is funny because the Japanese logo underneath it has written in English, World of Leodale. It's like ReZero. Remember how, like, the on the Japanese logo, there's the English text that's different from the English official translation?
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If you want, I can just share my random thoughts about some of the things if I see them.
Okay.
Okay. So, that's just that. And I guess, did you have anything else anime-related to say?
No, not really.
All right. So, for those of you, so that's all our anime discussion. Now we'll move into, I guess, The Amazing Race, which just premiered.
I forgot we were doing this. So a 2-hour episode last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have so many. I just scribbled down all these thoughts, and I've just got this big list of things, of all these small things I wanted to comment on.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing, in my opinion, is the fact that it happened before the pandemic, but doesn't really say, like, how long before. So I'm trying to figure out, like, is this in, like, the, like, when people were still poo-pooing the thing, like I was?
This was filmed in February of 2020.
Okay, so it wasn't taken too seriously yet, and then March is whenever everything went down. It kind of went down thanks to a basketball player. Whenever he came down with the illness, that's when everyone canceled everything, which, you know, I'm still not happy about, but that's about the time that happened. So, yeah, it's interesting because it's in that little bit of time. And, so we got one team eliminated. And I knew they weren't going to eliminate two teams in the first episode. So I knew a mile away that second would be a non-elimination leg.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
Well, the other giveaway was the fact that it showed that stuff about her complaining about, like, you know, saying, oh, my boy friend broke up and that's, you know, affecting me and stuff. And, like, that's not the sort of thing they would put in if they were about to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of notes on here. One is that one thing I'm not huge on in this season is it seems like they did a noticeably more what you could say, like, stunt casting than previous seasons.
What, like, does that mean?
Stunt casting, more like when they take people who are, like, you know, kind of well known from, like, some other thing and have them be here, you know, like where they might, like, you know, when they would take like people who were on some other reality show.
Okay, so they're like semi-celebrities.
Yeah, like the football players, right, from last time, or the three seasons where they had Rob and Amber. Like this, so we've got one team where one of the guys was, you know, wrongfully convicted and spent 10 years in prison before being exonerated. Because that got a bunch of attention and stuff. And I don't think he mentioned it in the episode, but he sued and got $11 million for it. Which is, you know, that's an interesting question. Would you be willing to spend 10 years in prison if you would get $10 million out of it?
That is an interesting, that is pretty interesting. How did he be found innocent? Was there, like, the Thin Blue Line documentary or something?
I don't remember all the specifics. Basically, it was one of those ones where, you know, there were witnesses who said, like, he did it, but then later on they said, no, we totally made that up. We were pressured into doing that by the prosecutor and, you know, other stuff. So he ended up, so they ended up, you know, releasing him and such. And there was that. Then there was also, like, you know, the you like a YouTuber couple. You had you had the two like army guys who were who got a bunch of attention like a while ago when they because they like took down that like you know guy who was trying to shoot up the train.
Right.
There's that. Then there were some other a few others that like had something that went viral for them somehow. So it seemed like there's usually like a, like one of those each season, but it just seemed like there is more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, what made me laugh so hard was this part where one of the teams, they're like in a taxi and they ask the taxi driver, you know, who Boris Johnson is, because, you know, they're supposed to find like this, these people dressed as Boris Johnson and the Queen that are like, you know, eating, that are having a meal. And okay, that's kind of, that's fair enough. You know, not everyone, I mean, I couldn't name most world leaders, although he is one that I could name. And so then they ask him and he said, and the taxi person says, he's the prime minister. And then they say, oh, what's he look like? And the person says, he's blonde and fat.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was pretty good.
One other thing. Now, maybe I'm just misremembering or maybe I wasn't paying enough attention at that point. But did it in this episode, did they skip over telling the winning teams what they won?
No, they told them. They won, maybe. I'm not sure. I know the one they told what they won.
Okay, in that case, it's just my bad memory, or yeah. Or maybe I didn't notice it. I don't know. As soon as they start saying, like, you've won, blah, 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 I kind of just mentally tune out for a while.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
I would feel like if I won something on The Amazing Race, I would feel like, well, I would really wouldn't want another trip. You know what I mean?
Well, I wouldn't want a trip because you get to go on the trip, fine. But you pay taxes on that.
Yeah.
Just give me the money and take the taxes from that.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was that. There was the part where the two of the teams completely overthink things and they have the clue, but then they are thinking, it can't be that easy. There must be something else we have to do.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and it made me realize something. I've mentioned how you being a camera person for The Amazing Race is presumably like you have to pass more stuff than normal because you can't. Because you have to be in really great shape. You have to be able to keep up with the contestants while, you know, carrying cameras around. Yeah. So, because you can't afford to slow them down. This episode made me realize something else they need to have. They need to have really good poker faces to avoid basically giving away the fact, hey, the clue is right there.
Yeah. Yeah, plus, they got to make sure they're not in the shot at all, you know? Mm-hmm. I know they reshoot some of that stuff, but, like, whenever you see someone handing over the clue right to the camera, you know that that's shot, you know, twice. So.
Yeah. Usually they, there was that one time, I think last season, where there was that one thing where you totally saw the cameraman.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, wow, you, I guess you just had to use that shot.
Yeah.
It also was a little funny when they're telling him, oh, Britain isn't part of the European Union anymore. Brexit. Which is funny because that happened like 3 weeks before the recording.
So, I had no idea when that happened. I heard all the controversy about it, but I was like, did it ever actually happen, or did, you know, they renege on it, you know?
After a lot of feet dragging, they ultimately At the end of January in 2020, they formally left the European Union, the UK.
The one I was surprised about was Norway. I didn't think that it was going to be just two cakes that you could get. Like, I was thinking, okay, they'll have like three or four that they can choose from. So I didn't realize that.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else I wanted to mention? There was one thing I've been thinking about. Although I remember you said that you didn't want any real spoilers on how they might change stuff, you know, because of the suspension when it comes back. So I don't know if you want me to say, it's just something that might make you want, like, try to look for something in anticipation, but I don't know if you want me to not say it at all, or
what is it?
Oh, specifically just the fact that, so when they, so they're going to, because of COVID, they stopped the season like midway through after like three legs. It just got put on hold for quite a while. And they like kind of looked in it and tried to think, okay, how can we keep doing this? And they managed to, you know, come up with a bunch of stuff that changed the way they did the race. And then they called the teams back and were like, okay, we can keep going. And I know two teams were not able to come back due to the break. Like, I don't know, maybe they like just couldn't get into their schedule again or any other number thing. And I'm just thinking, and since there's two teams, and I'm just thinking, so I'm just looking at the show trying to think, who were those two teams? And I'm just looking at, so what teams are getting the least amount of focus? My guess would probably be the father-daughter team, because they seem to really be skimped over. And also the dating team, I think, because we didn't get much of them either. We got some attention because one of them was the guy, one of the two guys who, you know, overthought the clue. But I kind of feel like you had to include that anyway. So those would be my guesses, but I could be totally wrong. And of course, there's one more team that's going to get eliminated.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, I assume we'll find out either at the end of next episode or the start of the next one which two teams didn't return. And I was just trying to like look at it and try to guess, because I assume it's going to be the ones that don't get attention. There's one other thing I wanted to mention, and now I am blanking on it. Well, was there anything else you wanted to say about it?
No, except that I enjoyed it.
Yep, it was definitely fun. I'm going completely crazy. I was literally going to follow what I was saying with something else, and now I cannot remember what it was. Okay, I was saying the two teams would be... Oh, right, now I remember. I assume because of the fact that they're doing that, but I think there's still the same number of legs. I assume that means we'll be seeing more non-elimination legs than in a typical season.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting. That's basically it. It was a fun... it was a fun episode. It's nice to see the show back. But I am going to be interested I'm going to be interested to see how what kind of changes they're making in the how the show will play out with all the extra measures they had to take because of coronavirus. But we won't see that until the episode after next, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, and
All right.
I guess that's all of them. Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry. This is the last one. In the preview, I noticed it's going to be the stick shift episode. How do people watch The Amazing Race and not realize I should learn how to drive manual? Because it happens every season, it seems.
Yeah,
okay. That's... Want to be on The Amazing Race? 1, get over fear of heights. 2, know how to drive manual. Okay. And that's it. That's our podcast. We've gone through our anime. We've gone through The Amazing Race. We'll be talking more about that as it goes on. And once again, we'll be here for Toonami next week also. And I guess that's all of the stuff we have to say. We'll see you next time.
Bye.